I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Late night has been slim pickings this week. I really haven't been doing them because the jokes have not been good. Only a couple from today. Jimmy Fallon said President Biden visited a farm in Illinois where he announced new steps to fight rising food costs and inflation. You know, your presidency's in rough shape when your staff is like, it's time to drive you to a farm upstate. Jimmy Kimmel talked about the baby formula shortage, saying this is a tough spot to be in, not having baby formula, because what are you going to do? You can't go to Wendy's and get them a Frosty. You have to have formula. I'll tell you, there's never been a better time for the Supreme Court to force women to have more kids than right now. I started watching the George Carlin doc. Thank you, HBO, for the screener. It is amazing. I'm not going to say too much yet, and I haven't seen the entire thing, but I did a spin class this morning while watching Carl on the laptop. It was the easiest 45-minute workout I've ever had. The time absolutely flew by, and it is great. I will put this thought into your mind in advance. As I was listening to the older George Carlin, I was hearing the voice of Mike from Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Jonathan Banks. I think Banks might be doing Carlin. I'll see. Maybe I'll pull two quick clips and we can play them back to back. Now, this is really interesting. This from the Laugh Button. David Spade on his podcast talked about how there might be one more Norm Macdonald stand-up special, sort of. According to Spade, the special is just Norm Macdonald seated and doing a set to no one during lockdown. Spade said, Norm kept saying, you know, I'm just trying to do my set. And he was getting weaker, which we didn't know. And they kept shutting down theaters and they wouldn't let him go. And then he goes, I'm just going to run it once just to say it out loud. And then he never got to shoot it. He had a microphone in his hand and Lori Joe, who's Norm's longtime producer, was filming him. Spade says he was in a room with six people and they all watched the special. I definitely cried and says it's classic Norm stuff, unpolished, but very much his point of view. He was smoother than my special, joke Spade. So let's see if they just use that and make some kind of documentary. Dave Chappelle still not happy about the lack of charges against the man who allegedly attacked him. His lawyer is still out there saying, we request that the DA reconsider, correct this mistakes, and charge this as a felony. Entertainers in LA need to know that the justice system will protect them on stage. NBC News reports comedian Andy Dick was arrested Wednesday at a campground in Orange County, California, on suspicion of sexual battery. The Orange County Sheriff's Department responded to a call around 9 a.m. after the adult male victim called authorities about a possible sexual assault. Andy Dick was arrested. The Sheriff's Department would not provide more details about the nature of the allegations. Wow. The New York Times did another one of those articles about comedy clubs and security, post the slap, post Chappelle. We've seen a lot of these. In this version, the New York Times writes, Laugh Factory officials say as a result of the recent unrest, they've added cameras and metal detectors and increased the number of security guards at some of their locations. They've added some stuff to the pre-show monologue, the one that tells you about the two drink minimums. In that, it now says, this is not a UFC match. We do not care about your political affiliation. Meanwhile, in Atlanta, the Uptown Comedy Corner hired an off-duty police officer to bolster its security. It moved one of its guards closer to the stage and began using metal-detecting wands to check patrons and their bags at the door. The Hollywood Bowl says they have implemented their own additional security measures. No details there. I saw this next thing on Reddit. User Coreballer posted this, and I thought it was really interesting. The subject, Dean Cook. Coreballer wrote, I really hadn't been following Dane's drop-off and so was a tad excited to see him live last night. What a horrid experience. He basically just bragged about his huge penis, millions of dollars, supermodels he slept with, while telling the story about how his brother stole from him. He didn't connect with the audience at all and had no humor slash struggle. I love when comedians are more honest and a little self-depreciating. I get it sucks that his brother stole from him, but man, it was awkward as hell. One of the worst performances I've seen. So glad Patton Oswalt went on after him and clowned on his big penis a bit. I totally see why comedians are put off by his energy now. Just wanted to share my thoughts and discuss. Wow, that's really interesting. I'll keep an eye on that. A round of George Lopez tacos for everybody because NBC has picked up Lopez versus Lopez for a series. This is the new sitcom. Some of the characters include Rosie, George's ex-wife, described as a ball of energy who's barely overbearing. And the self-proclaimed best insurance agent in town. Okay. We also have George Lopez's daughter's character's live-in boyfriend, who's described as a kind-hearted beta male and the bane of George's existence. The boyfriend character's habits include meditating and bulking up on green juice. Lopez versus Lopez coming to NBC. Alrighty. Sebastian Maniscalco shared how he prepares for the crowd work portion of his show. Spoilers, you might not want to know. This is in a video released by the Netflix Twitter account. Sebastian says, seconds before going on a stage, he visits the camera room while they're shooting the audience. There, he chooses the people he wants to pick for his act. He says this helps him and the cameraman as he doesn't have to go looking for people or tell the cameraman where to shoot. All right, I guess that makes sense. Ronnie Chang talked to The Last Laugh about his recent special Speakeasy. I need to finish that one, but I've got 3 hours and 15 more minutes of George Carlin to watch. And my daughter has a concert tonight. I'm told 18 songs in which she's in three of them. That's right. Johnny Mac's going to get home at 9:45. I just want to watch the Carlin thing. It's really good. Ronnie Chang about Speakeasy said, I wanted to capture the pandemic moment visually without being explicit about it. Not necessarily with masks, but the idea that gathering in a small room is kind of illegal now. So I was just trying to recapture that moment in time. People wanted to come out and listen to comedy, even though it's risking our lives literally in the small rooms. In the special, he dares people to cancel him. He says, cancel me? What are you going to do? Cancel me so I have to go back to Malaysia where I'm a national hero and the currency advantage is very much in my favor? Good jokes. River Butcher talked to the LA Times about his recent Comedy Central stand-up special, which is called A Different Kind of Dude. River Butcher expresses concern for the people who hang rubber testicles from the back of their trucks. I just want to know what's going on because I see them all the time. But I don't feel safe to actually walk up to somebody that's got truck nuts and ask, hey man, what's up with your truck nuts? So I do it on stage. There is a new episode of the podcast, The Best Song Ever, this week. Each week, music journalist Scott Frampton picks a song and he tells you why it is the best song ever this week. This week, the best song ever this week is called Strawberry Letter number 23 by Shuggy Otis. Scott Frampton sent me a note and said, Shuggy Otis played gigs with his father, Johnny Willie and the Hand Jive Otis at 11 and was a guitar hero at 15. By the time he was 21, he was making records that influenced Prince, acid jazz, and hip hop. Then he just sort of stopped making music. Wow. That's about 10 minutes of that podcast. The best song ever this week, wherever you get your shows. CBS says United States of Al canceled. You didn't watch it. You're fine. The AV Club says Gerard Carmichael's directorial debut and star vehicle on the count of three is not what you're expecting. They write, the film is devoid of personality, his or otherwise, which is not to say it's bad. Okay, we're not dumping on a comedy special here. The subject of On the Count of Three is suicide. The film's trailer carried a warning and phone numbers for both the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and the Crisis Text Line. So not a comedy. Also not a comedy is Brett McKenzie's new album. You know Brett, he's one of the Flight of the Conchords. And he's not trying to trick you. The album is called Songs Without Jokes. Brett McKenzie said, post-Concords, I've been working on songs for Muppets films, and during a session, I had the thought that it would be fun someday to work on songs that weren't for someone else, that don't have to tell a story or be funny or continue the plot, checking all the boxes for the character. I thought it'd be fun to do a record like that, something different. The Kids in the Hall have a new season. It's on Amazon Prime today. They are making the rounds in the media, but I'm looking forward to watching that. If I get home from the concert and watch 3 hours and 15 more minutes of the Carlin thing. I don't know when I'm getting to Kids in the Hall, but I like them a lot. That's on Amazon Prime. And that's your comedy news for today. Normal episodes this weekend. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. If you'd like to support the show, you can buy me a coffee.com/dailycomedynews. I didn't bring a coffee down to the studio. Sucks to be me. Or become a premium subscriber for $5 a month on Apple Podcasts. You'll get the episodes early and ad-free. And just go to Apple Podcasts and they'll put that option under your nose. See you tomorrow.